Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that image of the farmer, brothers and sisters, I know him from many a beautiful painting as the man who with a wide swing spreads the seeds, walking over his fields. In this afternoon's parable, the Lord Jesus portrays him that way too. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, some fell on rocky places, other seed fell among thorns, and still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. Of course, the farmer wants that most seeds fall on good soil, where the seed can sink into the well-plowed and harrowed ground to germinate, to grow and bear fruit. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. That's how the sower does his work, in the anticipation of a crop, hoping to receive grain for bread. Does that have to come from the seeds he sows? That's hard to believe. Indeed, the farmer doesn't know either how that works exactly. It's a miracle. So he doesn't hesitate one moment, but continues his sowing with a view to the crop. He who has ears, let him hear. Why does the Lord Jesus tell this parable, beloved? Well, he did so in order that his disciples would know the work that he would be doing by his Holy Spirit. What work? Well, the spreading of the gospel of Christ, the proclamation of the word as the sowing of the seed, as he says in verse 23, the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Then what was the fruit of the sower? People who believe. People who accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. That's what sowing is all about. The seed is scattered when the apostles proclaimed the mighty works of God, when they shared the salvation in Christ with their hearers. And today, we are still sowing. The preachers who bring the gospel, who open the scriptures, and who deliver their sermons. That's how faith is worked in Christ and all his benefits. Why? For only by faith man is united with God in Christ. He cannot do so himself, but by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Not by good works, it's a gift of God. Well, how important faith then is. Indeed, as we will see this afternoon, the Holy Spirit works faith in man by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. And we see, first of all, that faith is a miracle. And secondly, preaching is a necessity. So that's how I would like to summarize the message. The Holy Spirit works faith in man by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. We see, first, that faith is a miracle. And secondly, that preaching is a necessity. So faith is a miracle. Where does that faith come from? From the Holy Spirit who works it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. So that means, brothers and sisters, that we cannot give ourselves this faith. We cannot give this faith to each other. Parents cannot give faith to their children, or teachers to their students, or office bearers to their members. It does not make a difference what minister it is. There is no competition either. The Holy Spirit only can give us this faith in God. It may not always be so nice that believing doesn't come up from ourselves, or that it's not possible to give faith to others, or that the minister who preaches the gospel doesn't make a difference. Still, that's how it is. Faith is a gift of God. Before already, I stressed the point, quoting Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." So there is no room for boasting in our piety or in our personal relationship with God. We don't have to be proud of our faithful church attendance or of our activities in the congregation. It's a gift. You may hear people say, "I chose for Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus," as the old Arminian expression goes. It's not true. We ourselves did not choose for God. He chose for us, and He works faith in our hearts. And the reason for stressing all these thoughts and sentiments, beloved, is to stress at the same time that faith is a miracle. Indeed, everything God does is a miracle. When it pertains to our faith, however, it's a miracle for sure, a great miracle. Why? Well, very simply, because faith is something very, very unusual, abnormal, and unique. As Paul puts it in our scripture passage, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up." What that means? Well, we know what the gospel is. The gospel is the glad tidings of salvation for people. It's the good news of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. He was crucified for our sins. He was raised for our justification. When we believe in Him, we have peace with God. When we believe in Him, we have hope for the future. There is a rich prospect of eternal life through Christ. There's room in life again for hope and joy and peace in our heart. That's the gospel. Now, as Paul puts it, that gospel is not something that man made up. Oh, sure, it's coming to man, but in its essence, as to its contents, it's not man's. It's not man-made. It's not in accordance with man's thought patterns either, or with man's way of life, or with man's wisdom. But it's totally different from anything man could think or want or design. Therefore, believing the gospel of Christ too is something very, very remarkable. Do you realize that, beloved? Do you recognize how unique, how remarkable believing in God is actually? You've never seen God. Still, without a doubt, you believe that He exists. You've never met Him. Still, with the greatest certainty, you know how He is. Almighty, merciful, compassionate, loving, remarkable. Yes, and believing isn't just that you know that he exists and know who and how he is. You also trust in him and in everything he says to make you happy, joyous. A believer puts his whole life, his whole being in God's hands and trusts God more than himself. Amazing! You trust an invisible God more than yourself or anyone else. You trust the Word of God more than your own eyes or ears, your own experience. That's very unusual. Not normal for a man. Yes, and then the gospel Paul is writing about is the gospel of Christ. Now, believing in God is one thing. Amazing indeed. Yet believing in Christ is even more unusual. Whoever believes in Christ says, I can't save myself, but I have to be saved. I can't earn anything myself. I have to receive it all. I can't be great, strong, and impressive. I have to be small, humble, and childlike. I can't tell God to help me or save me. I have to confess sins and guilt and implore God, save me. You see, beloved, that's the gospel of Christ, as we confess in Lord's Day 25. To focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. When that gospel is the basis for your life, you will have to come back to it all the time, every day, and in every situation. You will have to humble yourself, go on your knees, and hold up your empty hands. Remember, that's how I portrayed it in our previous sermons on Lord's Day 23 and 24. Then you can never seek your own honor and glory. You're only seeking to glorify Christ in your life. As John the Baptist put it, he must become greater. I must become less. He must increase, I must decrease. John 3, verse 30. You are living for Christ, not for yourself. You surrender your life to Him. Commit yourself to Him. Deny yourself for Him. He is on the throne of your life, not you. How foreign that is to man. How uncommon, unusual this is to man, Paul says. Very unnatural. You don't have that of yourself. Letting someone else determine your life, it's completely out of character for a man. Man wants to know himself, decide for himself what he is doing. Yet the man who believes says, Lord, what do you want that I shall do? Faith in Christ means seeking your life, your salvation, your future, your direction, your norms, your conscience, your self-esteem outside of yourself in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that this gospel I preach is not something that man made up. Where does this faith come from? It's a miracle. It's a gift. And only God, the Holy Spirit, can give you such a faith. The Holy Spirit only can enter your heart, descend into its depths, and convince you that this gospel is the truth nonetheless. The Holy Spirit only can open your heart for this gospel. Open your eyes, your ears for it, in order that in Christ your life is saved, restored, renewed, and made fruitful, as we have seen in the past few sermons. Paul is an excellent example for that, he shows. You know, he writes, how I used to be a fanatic Jew, extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Until God interfered. I knew the word of God, he says, and studied the doctrine of the word of God as no other. He had also heard about the message concerning this Jesus, yet something had to happen with him in his heart before he would give himself over to Christ, before he would seek his life outside of himself in Christ. When God was pleased to reveal his Son in me, Paul says, beloved, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Christ did not just appear to Paul that one time on the way to Damascus. God was pleased to reveal his Son in me, he says. That's the miracle of faith. It was no longer Paul who lived, but Christ who lived in him. That's the miracle of faith, as we saw last week, when we project Christ's image, when we live in Christ's spirit, and when in our works and way, Christ is portrayed in the fruit of the Spirit. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit who opened that his heart and soul and made it receptive for the gospel of Christ. And the same gospel that he despised before, that he resisted with a vengeance, he accepted and believed. That's a miracle. It's the great miracle God does in every believer. Yes, it's the miracle that you and I may see him work in us. How? By the preaching of the gospel. Our second point, preaching is a necessity. This gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, may be foreign to man and not something that man made up. Still, it's meant for man. It's the message of salvation that's to be proclaimed for the ears of man. It also is meant for the eyes of man, as that same gospel is portrayed in the sacraments. It may be unnatural, out of character, and contrary to man's liking, still it's the gospel that's intended for man. What gospel? Well, as we confess that God graciously grants us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life because of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. You see, Christ made that sacrifice for men, for us. He did so for us and our salvation. Hence, we need to know that gospel, become acquainted with it more and more. We have to hear how Christ had us in mind when he suffered on the cross. He had our peace in mind when he gave up his life for us. That's what we should realize more and more deeply, personally. Especially when we become aware of our sins, our guilt more and more too. We need to be reminded of the merits of Christ, the benefits of believing in him. In other words, beloved, this gospel of Christ was written for our life, focused on our life. It shows what God has done for us and who he is for us. It also tells us about ourselves and why God has done for us and who he is for us. It also tells us It reveals to us our sins and misery in order to convince us of the need for us to seek our life outside of ourselves. The message of eternal life was revealed to us because we are mortal men. The message of new life was written for us because we are subject to death. The gospel of Christ is a glad tiding because it wants to give us joy instead of sorrow, hope instead of that sense of helplessness and hopelessness that prevails over us so often. That gospel has to come to us. We have to know it. It's this gospel that God wants to be preached to us so that we will hear it. He wants to touch our heart with it, to cheer it. He wants to touch our soul with it, to heal it, to restore it, and renew it. He wants to lift your spirits with it when in your sorrow you are bowed down. He wants to encourage you when you don't see it anymore and give you rest. Why does God want this, beloved? Why does he come to you with this gospel of Christ through the preaching of the gospel? Because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of care and comfort and compassion for you, for your heart and soul, for your spirit and life. He wants you to hear this gospel and help you understand God's will for you. Very important that we know this, that we learn to see this way of the Holy Spirit. He wants to work faith that way, we confess. And he also strengthens our faith that way. He wants to sow that word into your heart, as the Lord Jesus explained with the parable of the sower, so that you who have an ear will hear the word and grow and increase and bear fruits of faith in your life. The Holy Spirit has determined that he wants to do that by the preaching of the gospel. He could have done it differently, perhaps, but no, faith is by hearing, Paul writes in Romans 10, the hearing of the word of God that is preached. I did not receive it from any man. We read in our passage as well, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Verse 12 in Galatians 1. So very concretely, brothers and sisters, this gospel of Christ must be proclaimed to us, declared, preached, and explained. It must be held up to us, and its contents must be displayed before our eyes. Yes, Christ must be portrayed to us through the preaching of the gospel in every sermon, especially because it's so foreign to us and so unlike us. It must be preached from week to week. Then we should also be aware that since it is so unnatural for us and uncommon, we naturally are inclined to resist it deep in our heart. Indeed, the more it wants to take root in our life, the more there could be circumstances of hardness, of anxiety, and of resistance that obstruct the work of the Holy Spirit. The worries of this world, the pride of our heart, and the rebellion in our mind could easily choke the seed or quench the spirit. Hence, we need to realize that the growing of our faith, the deepening of our love, does not come easy. Rather, it is accompanied of struggles. Every time again, there might be something in the preaching that stirs resistance, rebellion. The truth of the gospel clashes with our ignorance, our selfishness, our haughtiness, or our unbelief. then the Holy Spirit needs to break that. Yet then he will also encourage us, comfort us to seek our help and strength in him, in his guidance, in his enlightenment. Christ promised that he will lead us in all the truth, also and especially when we doubt, when we wander and waver. Isn't that a realistic picture, beloved? An inclination and reaction that you recognize in yourself? How often indeed aren't we weak in faith, doubting, wavering? How often don't we need to be reminded of the basics, of the main focus in the gospel of Christ, his sacrifice on the cross as the only ground for our salvation? When you discover in your life that your faith life has become superficial, then what should you do? Pray for the Holy Spirit. Intensify your hearing, your listening to the preaching. Use the means of grace, as we call the word and sacraments, or rather, let the Holy Spirit use them for the strengthening of your faith. That doesn't just mean that you should attend the worship services faithfully. That's very important, of course. Also, listen attentively, actively. Have your Bible open. Read, reread, and think about the preaching. Consider what the sermon shows you and ponder the connection with your life. Yes, work with the preaching also during the week. And if it helps you, take some notes to remind you of an important thought that struck you, an important matter that drew your attention. Speak about the sermons at home. Refer to it in your study. And I hope then that you also paid close attention last week when the Holy Spirit used the sacrament of holy baptism, or the week before the administration of the Lord's Supper, to focus your heart and mind, your life and faith on the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He uses it to strengthen your faith in the forgiveness of sins, and in the renewal of your life. Yes, what a miraculous work that is. And what a miracle indeed it is when you believe in Jesus Christ and when you seek your life in him alone, totally and completely. Amen.